Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
In this hour of the programme, we continue Manx Radio's coverage of this year's House of Keys general election. We're speaking to another candidate who have announced they'll be standing. We're joined now by 55-year-old Anne Corlett, who will be contesting the new constituency of Douglas Central. Good afternoon, Anne. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Thanks for popping in. Have you been going round door knocking?
I have, yes.
When did you start that?
About 3 weeks ago.
OK, so you've got a fair amount of people's views now for knocking. What are they worried about?
Well, the issues on the doorsteps really are the promenade. That's the first one when people open the door, is the promenade. Another issue is the over 75 TV licence. And I'd say the third issue is probably the roads and pavements.
So how are your constituencies going to solve this problem as far as they're concerned? Because generally on the doorstep they have a view.
Yes. Well, the view for the promenade is really to make a decision and resurface the promenade.
Okay. So don't prevaricate.
No.
Make a decision. Be it right, be it wrong, make a decision.
Well, of course, they feel they have the right decision. I think I have the right decision.
Which is?
I think we should deal with whatever's subsurface and then we should resurface. And if we're going to have trams, it should be one single track down the middle, and it must be end to end.
Must be.
I think so. I can't see any point in going halfway. I just, it's got to link with something.
But what about all the sort of the changes to making it look pretty and things like that? Am I getting the impression you want the basics?
Well, yes, I don't want too much change. The original plans were very modern. All the shared space thing, which I didn't like. Here we are. We're making people keep the facades of the hotels in place as Victorian buildings. And then we want to put a promenade in that's totally not in keeping with that. We have a Victorian promenade. We should retain a Victorian promenade.
With, once again, a horse tram track right up the middle.
If that's what people want, then that's what people should have, yes. And that is the opinion on the doors. It is mostly an overwhelming yes for horse trams, I have to say.
But a lot of roadworks, because the sub base is dead in places up that road there. It's gone completely.
It is. But to resurface and not deal with that...
Can't be done.
It can't. So we have to accept this.
Would that, in your estimation, mean that the horse trams don't run for probably 2 or 3 years?
I think probably they won't. I can't see any way that they could possibly run the horse trams and deal with what's underneath there at the same time. And that was always the plan. Even the original plans were that the horse trams would be stopped for 2 years. But you could actually start them. You could run them at one end and then run them at the other for the intermediate time before you run them the whole length. So that's a possibility.
Has the suggestion come up to run them on the walking prom, if we can call it that?
I don't like that. I don't think it's safe. I don't think there's enough room there, really, to operate safely. You've got children, bicycles, scooters, dogs, walkers. It's not the place for them.
What about operating the horse trams from the War Memorial to the sea terminal, where you've got width?
On the
walking prom?
No.
If we can call it
that. No, I think it needs to keep completely off the walkway.
Okay. And in the centre of the carriageway, if they are relocated, or towards the curbside?
I always actually favoured the curbside, but I quite understand that the parking is an issue there. The original plans that I saw, it was running along the pavement seaside, and there was chevron parking on the hotel side, which I thought actually was pretty good. And I'd settle for that.
That would increase parking availability on that side.
Yeah. We would have to have some spaces in the Chevron parking for coaches or deliveries, whatever.
Go back to the old days when we used to have Chevron car parking up the centre of the road.
I remember.
So that's what the constituencies are saying about the prom, things like this. What's their view on health and the hospital?
I've had a few complaints that getting a doctor's appointment is difficult and they have to wait quite a long time.
Okay.
Maybe that's hit and miss, because I rang the other day and got one the same day, so I must have been lucky. But I do appreciate people are getting them 10 days in advance of when they're called. after their calling, I should say. And that's a long time to wait if you really need to see the doctor.
So that's GPs. What about nobles?
Nobles, waiting lists. That's the main complaints. Mm-hmm. But actually, so far, not that many of them.
Which is a complaint or an idea that has surprised you by knocking on somebody's door? I thought, God, I never thought of that.
I haven't had one yet. It all seems to be pretty much
the prom.
The same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, the prom. The TV licence, I'm surprised that so many people have mentioned to me, the over 75 licence. That has been. Then there's quite a lot of older residents, I guess, up in the top of Central
and
Douglas.
Is it the more younger people that are raising queries, or is it the over 75s that are moaning about the TV licence being stopped?
A bit of both. Both. I'm surprised that young people are quite put out that it's being stopped.
And are you finding young people politically engaged?
Some, yes, actually. I was going down Devonshire Road last week and a young man chased me down the road and shouted after me and had a conversation. And he said he was just eligible to vote. And I was really surprised and heartened by the fact that somebody actually came and chased after me and asked me some questions at 16.
Brilliant. And what were you able to answer to him then?
Well,
were you able to reassure him you were going to be a very good MHK?
Yes, and he went away and said he would vote for me. So, that's good.
Result. What business skills have you got that you would hope to bring to Tynwald then?
Well, mine's a small business, so it's very hands-on. So things like budgeting, customer service. I mean, we have a huge amount of services in government itself. Balancing the books and streamlining. And, you know, we talk about smaller, smarter government. I'm constantly in business trying to keep it small and smart. So it's those sort of things that I hope I can bring.
But over the last 5 years of the government, have you managed to grow your business?
Well, actually, no. Not that we haven't managed. It's that we've had no cause to. It's a family business. We're getting to the age that we are and would like to actually take it a bit easier. So we're not looking to grow the business. We only want to sustain what we have. And so, that has not been difficult.
So the skills that you have got in local business and also a councillor, you would hope to transfer to
yes.
Tynwald?
Yeah.
What experiences? Why is Anne better now than she was 5 years ago for being a councillor?
Well, 5 years more life experience is something.
As a councillor.
I've learned so much as a councillor, even down to negotiating, to try to get what you want, to work with other people to try to get what you want, to appreciate that sometimes you have to compromise and even concede a little bit to get something. It's negotiating, isn't it? So I think that's improved. And sort of the running of the council, how to get things done, how to put motions forward, how to, standing orders, all those things, they help to prepare you and have definitely fueled me, I think.
Because it's basically a family tradition as far as your family's
yes,
concerned,
it's,
isn't it?
I think it's genetic.
But you would hope to bring those skills to the Isle of Man government?
Yes, yes.
Compromise?
I think you have to have some compromise. You cannot have it all your own. Well, not always. It's very nice when you can get it your own way.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got 23 other people that you need to bring along with you. You have to make compromise on the way sometimes.
The trouble is you're going to have 23 other people along with you who all have different opinions to you. Are some making a bit more noise than you? Are you going to sort of stand up and bang the fist?
I will if I have to, yes.
Make difficult decisions?
It has to be done, and you have to face up to it.
Okay, the question then is pensions.
Pensions.
That must be a stumbling block for you at the doorstep as well.
It is, and it's something that is difficult for me because I'm not an expert on it. What I would say is that I support the moves that have been made so far. They have recognised the problem and are at least making inroads into it. I support what they've done with the, you know, paying more for longer for less. I know people have come up with other ideas of how to solve this. I don't think it's that simple. If it was, we would have done it already. So I think it's something that the legacy we have to deal with may come down to grin and bear it in the end.
Do you think some of the present MHKs have said, oh, well, we won't make a decision, let's leave it for the new people?
Yes, I think they have. I don't think that's the only thing they've done it on.
Various other prospects have been spending money left, right and centre. Taking it out of the reserve pot? Are you a great believer in taking money out of reserves?
I'm not. Reserves are there for emergencies or if you've made a mistake in your budgeting. But you should not rely on them. Absolutely not. That's not the way forward. Once they're gone, they're gone.
But would you consider increasing reserves?
From where they are now, yes. I think we need to build them. A little, at least. You need something for a rainy day.
But as far as that's concerned, how are you going to get growth then in order to put money into reserves?
Well, economic growth is absolutely the foundations of everything. We cannot have services or any of the things that we want without economic growth. So we have to attract new business. We have to support existing businesses to grow. And I have to say the economic development enterprise scheme, I do fully support that. I think that's a really good idea. It's investing or loaning money where perhaps the bank wouldn't. And they've got very good business cases before they take them on. They have exit strategies for getting out of it once the business is established. So it's all well thought out, and I'm very much in support of that.
Is that not putting a little risk on the money?
It is. It is.
Take risks? Happy with that?
I think calculated risks, yes. Yeah. Not every business is going to work. Mm-hmm. And that's a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think perhaps concentrate more on growing businesses that are already established. They're more likely to be successful and you're more likely to be able to get your money out of them.
But focusing on other than the finance sector and e-gaming, which seems to be the revenue streams that we accept at present.
Yeah, well, I think there is a lot more out there, you know. We are quite diverse. You know, IT, aerospace, biomed. There's an awful lot of scope out there.
So I think I heard an interview you with James Davis, and you said Tim Ward needs to be more diverse.
Yeah, I think... Well, I didn't say more diverse. I think I said Tim Ward needs to be diverse.
Okay.
In that having 24 genius financial super whiz kids is one thing, but we have to balance that.
With what?
With some, I'm going to sound bad now, common sense, some reason, some thought for the actual people we're representing, what their thoughts are. And I think we have to come from within them in order to understand.
And are you prepared to change your views because some of your constituency ask you to?
No. No, I can't.
Your views are paramount.
Well, that's not fair to say. To be fair, you know, I'm not a particular horse tram fan, but I am prepared to support them because that's what most people want.
Okay.
So, yes, I have strong views, but if I'm overwhelmingly outnumbered, then I have to represent the people that I'm put there to do.
As far as growth is concerned, did you think Brexit is an opportunity for growth?
Yes, I do. I do think there will be opportunities in Brexit. Yeah, I think we should be a lot more positive about it.
If you'd have had a vote, would you have been a Brexit supporter?
That's put me on the spot. I had an inclination to leave, which is... I'm glad I didn't have to make the decision, to be fair. And now it's made. This is how it is. We should deal with it. You know, I think we should keep very close links with Westminster to make sure that we're in the best place for negotiation. I think we should have alliances with the other crown dependencies so that at least we've got some
oomph,
yeah. And we are very quick to adapt with legislation. being a small place. And I think there's so many positives in that.
And I'm assuming, as with all the other candidates, you think you Isle of Man government should be looking outward and not inward.
Yes, yes.
Deal with Europe? Deal with the EU people?
I don't think we should discount anything, really. Obviously, Westminster's our best route right now to negotiate. But I don't think we should close any doors. You know,
knock on new doors?
Open, yes. Yes.
Anything to achieve growth?
Not anything. I mean, we have to be
sensible.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think you're going to fare on the first day then, when September the 23, you get called in? Are you committed to the job?
Absolutely.
Because you were saying somewhere it's not a one day a week job.
It isn't. It is very full on. It is a full time. In fact, I would say probably more than full time job if you're doing it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's what's fueled me from the council, actually. It's a bit of a juggling act sometimes with work, and I would love the opportunity to do this full time.
And all the people in Douglas Central, the problems, does anybody moaning about housing, rented, ownerships,
yeah,
and things like this, is that one of the problems?
People are concerned about buying houses. The house prices are a little high for them, obviously. I think I would support the first time buyers initiative of shared equity. I never liked the land, giving away the land. You know, corporation did that, didn't they? Give away the land, built the houses. Because then that land was sold on the first time that house was sold. So it was a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at least shared equity, you know, if when it's paid off, can be reinvested in other places.
Talking about land around Douglas as a whole, there is a lot of wasted sites at present which seem to be stalling. Lord Street, Summerhill, Summerland, things like that. Have you got a view on that? Do you think planning could help?
I don't know really whether it's a planning issue or just getting somebody to invest. I don't think the government should be investing in it. It has to be private enterprise. There simply isn't the money to do those sort of things.
But you've got to sort of sell the Isle of Man to private enterprise, offshore private enterprise, I'm assuming. How are you going to sort of sell transport links? Are you a happy bunny with the steam packet?
Overall, personally, quite happy. I am in agreement with having a link at Liverpool. I think we should control both ends. I do think that's important.
To buy the link? You know, to buy the land to put the link on?
Well, they're leasing it, aren't they, for 280 years or something. So,
but you're happy with that?
I am, because I really do think we need to control both sides.
And Heysham as well, presumably, as well.
Well, Heysham, we don't... as far as I know, Peel Holdings control that now. So, but we aren't having any problem with it, are we?
No.
I mean, the issue with Liverpool is that the Prince's Landing stage is gone. Birkenhead is... Actually, it's okay if you're in a car.
But it's passengers that
are
the problem.
Yeah, and it can't... The fast craft can't dock there. So we have to do something. And I think for most people, especially when I'm talking to them on the doors, Liverpool is the preferred port.
Because it's shorter.
Yeah, and it's easy to get everywhere from there, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. In your estimation, steam packet are doing a good job. No need to nationalise them.
I don't think the government should be running something like that. I don't think we'd make a very good job of it. It needs to be a private company.
So what about the airport?
The airport, I'm happy with the open skies policy. I like the cheap flights, as everyone else does. I think we are suffering a little bit for that just at the minute with the disruption, and because the larger airlines are cherry-picking the routes, and that makes it difficult. And
do you think sort of government should get in there with a hammer and sort out some of the airlines?
I think we should have
too many delays.
Some sort of standard that they have to reach. You know, some sort of regulation that X amount of flights have to be on time or whatever. Something needs doing. I mean, I got caught out in it a couple of weeks ago. My flight was cancelled and I was ransomed by the other airline for my seat. At the cost of £197 to go to Liverpool. So, you can do without that. Something yeah. does need to be done.
And you are the girl to do it.
Yes, I am.
What about the pensions problem? That's going to hang there forever and a day. Would you automatically go straight in and change it? Or
no.
presumably you're going to have to ask advice of civil servants.
Yeah, I don't think we can go straight in there and change it. You know, that Tim would have already agreed the measures that were in. The unions have agreed it. This, it's not a sledgehammer thing, because you're dealing with people's lives.
Is this back to your word, compromise?
I think it is, yes. We will have to compromise. I have absolutely no doubt about that. And we must be prepared to do it.
Have we got to attract new business to the island in order to give the growth that everybody wants?
Yes.
How are you going to do that?
Well, as government, the government is here to help to create the environment. And we live in a lovely place. We have low tax. They're identifying land to zone for building at the moment with the area plans. Other than that, it's really selling what we've got.
Selling as in keeping people informed about
it. Yes, yes, yeah.
But presumably, could government, as a, for instance, sell the Summerland site, do you think? That it is for sale, but would you give it away in order to actually create something there and not have an eyesore at the end of the prom?
I would certainly consider a...
Not probably give it away is the wrong...
No,
threat,
a lower
a
price.
A reduced price.
Yeah, absolutely, yes, I would. I wouldn't have any second thoughts about that. It's awful as it is. And if somebody would be prepared to invest...
You ought to bend over backwards to try and help them.
I think so. I'm not saying give it away.
No.
Because it's belongs to the taxpayers. But I think, you know, a compromise on price would be in order if we were going to get something in return for that.
Are you looking forward to September the 23?
I am.
If you're getting elected.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm assuming, are you friends with any of the other candidates in Douglas Central?
I wouldn't say friends.
Joint discussions with them?
No, I haven't actually, no. I know lots of other MHKs which I discuss with regularly, but not any of the local. I know Chris Thomas, but we don't have big discussions. I'm sure we will.
What happens, because there are quite a few experienced politicians that won't be sitting in the House on the 23rd. Are you confident that the new people will be able to drive this need for growth forward?
Well, there are officers and staff within government office who are working on these things right now while we're sitting here and there is no Timwald.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's enough time for everyone to get into the swing, and nothing drastic is going to happen, hopefully.
One of the
while
things,
that's happening.
But one of the things that hasn't got to be done is resurfacing the slog.
No, no.
That was a waste of money as far as you were concerned.
There are so many other things that need money spending on. And it wasn't as much as anything. It was the fact that the comment was made that money had to be spent. Now, that's something I really, really think needs addressing.
That's true, though, isn't it?
It is.
If
it
he
is.
Hadn't have spent the money, the minister would have lost it in budgeting.
Yes.
Isn't that the system that's wrong then?
Yes, it is. And this is what needs addressing. You know, departments should not be punished for saving money. They should not lose that in their next budget. And this is where it's going to... And this is why departments are using budgets as targets rather than budgets. You know, they want to hit the target so that they don't lose the money. It's a silly, silly way of doing things. They should be encouraged to save money.
Good.
Put into reserves, but with no penalty. As I say, it should be praised, not okay. penalised.
Anne Corlett has been my guest. You've got a minute to sell me Anne Corlett.
Okay, well, what can I say? I'm a proud Manx person. I want to retain the good things that we have on the Isle of Man. But change is needed. And difficult decisions lie ahead. I won't shirk them. What I really want to do is to help to shape a financially stable future for the next generation.
And call it a prospective candidate for Douglas Central has been my guest. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.